On our program this month, I want to continue the tradition of discussing key practice statistics. And I want to do this so that we can better understand the common and sometimes more subtle blockages that prevent practice growth. We're also going to be answering one of the consulting questions that's recently come into the Whitehall office here for review, and I think you're going to find that it's one that most of you will be able to relate to. This month, I want to take a closer look at a statistic that provides us as consultants with valuable information about why so many practices struggle unsuccessfully to reach their production goals. On earlier recordings, we discussed the importance of some of these key statistics, and we did it in light of the fact that most serious practice blockages actually involve complex combinations of both procedural and behavioral barriers to growth. There's few exceptions to this rule, and that rule being that you can know you finally found the true root blockage in a practice when the doctor doesn't even consider the real blockage as a possibility. In other words, the key blockage in most practices is something the doctor probably considered and disregarded months or even years ago. Without a working knowledge of core statistical interpretation, the novice consultant will be shut down by the average consulting client within moments. That's right. As we've said before, a consultant actually has to make a case, just like an attorney does, against the doctor, showing that both statistics, staff feedback, and all other predictive factors in the practice point to the true cause. The statistic we're going to look at this month is so valuable that as an investigative or interpretive concept, we could easily take the remainder of this recording to discuss its far-reaching impact on the practice. The statistic I'm talking about is case average. I realize that some of you may have heard me mention this term in conjunction with other recordings, but I think you're going to soon see that we didn't even scratch the surface on the power of this predictive statistic. I've isolated six major areas affected by case average. We'll see the effects of case average in everything from monthly practice overhead to basic fee structuring, all the way to clinical depression in the practitioner. It's even an invaluable tool in evaluating the effectiveness or offensiveness of your case presentation. It tells you if your staff's request for additional help is justified or if they're just sandbagging. When we're done with this subject, you're going to have a new and healthy respect for the predictive power of your own monthly statistics. As I mentioned in the first recording, where we introduced the statistical segment of the monthly audio, that there are three main areas of consideration when evaluating practice numerical performance. The first is raw numbers, everything from the number of new patients per month you're getting to the amount of money you're collecting or not collecting. Second, numerical relationships. This involves using the combination of two or more raw practice performance numbers to arrive at a more meaningful and interpretable statistic. And third, statistical and numerical relationship trends. That is the direction of the various raw numbers and numerical relationships of the practice. For our discussion today, we're going to include case average in the statistical relationship category. That's because we combine two raw numbers to arrive at case average: total monthly practice collections and total monthly new patients. A new patient, for our purposes, being defined as anyone who's never been treated in the practice. I realize that some doctors feel that patients who haven't been in for a period of, say, 3 to 5 years should be counted as a new patient. Some doctors count new patients as anyone who receives a comprehensive exam. For the purposes of this discussion, I suggest you use the new-to-the-practice criteria. This way, our interpretation of the numbers will apply to all of our listeners in a meaningful way. A few things to keep in mind when using case average as an analytical tool. First, case average may not reflect the amount of money made from any one patient. It's an overall average that's valuable for analysis purposes only. Second, case average should only be considered meaningful when the average is taken over a 3-month period or more. And third, case average does not stand alone as being good or bad. The evaluation of case average as a positive or negative must always be done in comparison to the clinic fee structure and to direct patient referrals. We'll explain all of this as we go along. First of all, let's look at how case average is actually calculated. For a period of 3 months or more, divide the total new patients into total collections for that same period. For example, if a doctor collects $100,000 total over 3 months and for the same period has 50 new patients, he or she has a case average of $2,000 per patient, 50 new patients into $100,000. Remember now, It's just an average. Don't jump to any conclusions, because I'm going to show you what it all means as we go along. And I believe that you're going to get more out of listening to this recording if you stop now and track down the raw numbers necessary to accurately determine your clinic's case average. This way you won't be wondering if or when I'm really talking about you. You're going to be able to follow the discussion more closely and come to the right conclusions about your own practice performance. First, let me say that we think of a good, healthy case average as falling in the range of usually $1,200 to $2,000. And this, of course, is going to be affected by the amount of third-party pay you have access to in your practice. It's when a case average gets out of these ranges that special evaluation procedures come into play. Later in this recording, we're going to delve into what case average extremes reveal about your practice. So let's get your case average pegged so we can get started. With that done, let's examine the areas impacted by high, low, and normal case averages. The first area I want to examine is the effect that case average can have on the overhead of your practice. When a doctor calls us with concerns about overhead, most people think we're going to start talking about what's being spent on rent, staff, paper clips, etc. Not so. We found that overhead isn't as much a factor of spending as it is of management style. That's right, it's not what you spend, but how you practice that determines overhead. And how you practice shows up in case average like nowhere else. Now I know you must be thinking that I'm going to tell you how a low case average will cause your overhead to be high. And yes, it's true. High overheads can arise from low case averages. When you're not making much money per patient and you're spending heavily to support the overhead of a high daily patient volume, overhead can certainly get out of control. What most people don't realize is that a high case average can also result in high practice overhead. When cases are, as we say here at Whitehall, overdeveloped, it often results in patients feeling that they've been oversold, indicated again by high case average. This often results in doctors having to replace unhappy patients with costly advertising patients. High case average doesn't always result in an unhappy patient, but we have identified a strong and predictable tendency in practice that with high case averages are going to be extremely low direct patient referrals in most cases. Let's talk about what a low referral rate might look like. I say if you're getting fewer than 12 direct patient referrals per month, and your case average is higher than the normal and healthy range that we just mentioned, you should take a hard look at how well your cases are being received by your patients. For years, we've said that you can easily sell and deliver more care than patients have actually bought into. Oh, you delivered the care and patients paid for it, but if you have too few referrals, you can bet that patients never really bought the care. Let's go back to the impact of low case average and how it might affect your practice overhead. A practice that grosses well on low case average will by definition be seeing higher patient volume. From that point on, really, you know, it's just mathematics. It's going to take more staff, space, equipment to serve the higher patient volume. I occasionally run into a doctor who will argue that his or her patients really don't need much care. And this is said in defense of his or her low case average. It would seem strange that one practice would simply attract patients that don't need much care when all around are practices that profess frustration in their patients' unwillingness to get the care they need. I found that some doctors are so non-assertive and afraid to tell patients what they need that they will unconsciously take the position that nothing needs to be done, regardless of the x-rays or exam findings. And yes, I've actually seen a few practices that were located in areas that did really seem to attract only healthy patients. They're extremely rare. I've also noticed that even in these upscale, high health conscious areas, that case average tends to increase over time with these doctors. Whether it's from the doctors finally managing to attract a different clientele, or if it's that they're finally comfortable recommending care, the situation tends to improve with time. I found that this is most noticeable with doctors that begin advertising. That is, right after they've begun advertising. They're usually disappointed with the class of patients that their ads attract. In time, however, they find that these same ads are going to bring in a better patient. You see, a closer examination of the phenomenon usually reveals that the practice systems have been strengthened to the point that they can better develop their non-referral cases. All right, the next measure of practice that can be directly tied to case average is referral effectiveness. So how is case average an accurate measure of referral effectiveness? Well, let me explain. See, a doctor who can inspire a significant number of referrals each month has yet to prove his or her referral power until you've considered their case average. A doctor with a low case average may be attracting large numbers of referrals, by simply telling patients what they want to hear. It reminds me of a clothing store that my wife goes to, and she tries to get all of her friends to go to it, and she tells me how great the clothing is. At one point, she finally confessed to me that the truth was that the clothing is just okay, as well as the shoes. She said it's the fact that all the sizes are marked so that she wears smaller sizes in both clothing and shoes purchased at that store. It makes her feel like she's a smaller size. So she's out telling everybody. See, the doctor that simply pronounces everyone to be free of the need for treatment will naturally generate more referrals. A doctor with 40 referrals per month, who has a case average that obviously indicates that he or she is blatantly underdiagnosing the patient's condition, hasn't proven their ability to communicate value to his or her patients. When I see a doctor with a case average of $3,500 and 43 referrals per month, I know I'm in the presence of a master communicator. See, those of you who have listened to past recordings know that the ability to communicate value is the key to what we call a high patient management index. Your patient management index is nothing more than comparing your case average to your direct patient referrals, just laying them side by side. If you have a high case average and low referrals, you're normal. You're not winning any awards, but at least you're normal. See, you've yet to escape the practice gravity that keeps referrals down when case average is high. When you have a high case average and high monthly referrals, you've definitely turned the corner on the communication challenge. So yes, it's all about communicating value. Value isn't about good customer service. It's about communicating the severity of a patient's condition and doing it without alarming them or pacifying them. The ability to make a patient's conditions real is the heart of the patient management index. So yes, before you congratulate yourself on an impressive case average, check to make sure that your referrals indicate that your patients are as impressed as you are with your communication skills. And if your monthly referrals are far above the industry norm that we talked about earlier, 12 per month, make sure that your case average proves that you're not just appeasing patients. The appeaser doctor will in time be confronted by patients wanting to know why he or she didn't diagnose or explain a condition that eventually became dire. As a consultant, there are few points of analysis more revealing than case average, especially when it's laid next to direct patient referrals. The highly assertive, egotistical doctor will often argue that he or she has mastered all aspects of practice, proven by the fact that patients bring them fresh baked cookies, and that others drive many hours past hundreds of other doctors just to be in this clinic to see this doctor. While this is often a good sign, unless the practice is enjoying a high direct referral ratio, it's likely that the cookies have been baked by one of the doctor's immediate family and that the long drive was taken by a patient whose insurance plan lists you as the only provider. If you'd like to see your practice as you've never seen it before, do this right now. Write down your case average, and right next to it, write your direct monthly referral average. If your case average is above the norms mentioned earlier, look to see if your monthly referrals are below the norm that we mentioned, or 12 per month. If so, you've got work to do. You have to get better at communicating value, and as I said earlier, that's another word for severity of the condition. If your case average is low and your referrals are low, you could be routinely offending patients in numerous ways, too numerous to go into now. If your case average is low and your referrals are high, work to maintain the high referral number while focusing on patients accepting needed treatment.